from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Kind of man she needed me to be. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Port O'Connor Way and check in with Captain Lynn Smith this morning. Good morning, Lynn. What's up?
Oh, man, not a whole lot. I'm actually down in South Texas right now.
Are you?
And came down here. Actually, a friend of mine and his wife were renewing their vows in George West.
Well, cool.
So we came down and did that, and then came down to this friend of mine's ranch between Freer and Cotulla. And so we cruised around the ranch yesterday afternoon and looked at animals. And spent the night. Anyway, we had a nice meal and everything last night. And it was a good time.
Oh, cool.
But I want to tell people they're going to have that buddy of mine that had the hunts last year on the ranch out of George West. He's going to have some more hunts this year, some management hunts.
Oh, cool.
So he's got three hunts that he's going to have left. He's got he needs to have hunters for one hunt in November, I think the week before Thanksgiving he's got open, and then I think he's got two hunts in December that he's got open. So and these hunts are for like four people, and one buck, one doe, and all the pigs you can shoot, all the pigs you can haul off, you know. But anyway, and I can give them the number to call.
Yeah, do that. That's I know they went fast last year. Now that's a four-person package, and that's a lodging.
Four guys.
That's the whole shooting match, everything.
Yeah, lodging, meals, everything, guide included, and they can give them a call, and the number is 361-566-2294. And the guy's name is Al. And he's the game manager on the ranch.
Okay, cool.
And it's a 9,000 acre ranch, and they got a lot of animals.
Yes.
And He needs to do the game management on it. And mainly what it is, they're trying to take off these eight-pointers. And they got some big eight-pointers on that place, believe me.
Yeah, they do. I've seen them. I've seen pictures of them. Y'all got some studs, man.
I'm telling you. And like I told him for years and years, you know, I've been guiding on that place for 20 years. I said, man, a lot of these bucks are trophies. I mean, for a lot of people, these are trophy deers. And, for years, I said, man, some of these eight-pointers, I mean, there's 20-inch eight-pointers on there, you know.
Yes.
I mean, that's a stud.
That's what I'm looking for. That's the only buck I hadn't got is that giant eight. Been eluding me my entire hunting career.
I had one of the guys that had that lease years and years ago. He was up in Tyler, and he texted me, and he said, "Have you seen any big eights?" He said, "Man, I've killed everything but a big eight."
Yeah.
And he said, "That's what I'm really looking for." And I texted him a picture of one, and what it was, it was a buck that I had seen at this one stand, and boy, he was smart. He wouldn't come anywhere near the stand. You know, he'd come in around his protein feeder, but boy, he was leery. And I took a pop up and I put it down real close to this protein pen. And I got in that pop up one day and I unzipped the window real just a little bit to where I could get my cell phone up close to that opening. And I was real close to that buck, boy. I mean, he knew something was up, but he would look at me, boy, and he'd look at that pop up and he knew something was up. But I got some real good pictures of him, and he was a hoss. I'll have to send you a picture or two of him. And I mean, he was wide and tall, big long tines on him, and he was a straight eight, no kickers or anything. And anyway, I sent that picture to that guy, and he texted me back and he said, "Oh, he'll work, he'll definitely work." And he came down and I put him in that pop up for 3 days. And the last afternoon, man, I went to pick him up and it was dark. And I pulled up to that pop up and I said, "Well," he got out of that pop up, you know, and I said, "Well," and he just shook his head. He said, "Well, I saw him, but," he said, "it was just too dark to shoot, man." He said, "I could see his horns up over the brush." He said, "Man, he is a hoss." I said, I'm telling you. But I said, "He's a smart old rascal. He's smart." But he said, "Man, he is something else." I said, "Yep, he is." But they didn't get big by being stupid, you know.
No, I didn't. But, well, the biggest Boone and Crockett buck, you know, up to date, was an 8-point whitetail, was 184 7/8.
Oh my goodness!
That was net. He grossed 192 3/8. Can you imagine? And he shot it with a Mossberg 500 shotgun.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Well, we went over to a neighboring rancher's one night to have dinner, and the ranch foreman killed a straight eight that scored 168. Now, that was a hoss. Oh, he was a beautiful deer. I mean, that's a heck of an eight-pointer. You know, you get an 8-150 or better.
That's what I'm looking for, is that 150 or better class, and I guess I'm just being too particular. But
oh, no. You know. I mean, if you want a good eight, I mean, that's what you want, a 150 or better. You know? I mean, that's the trophy, you know. That's what you're after. But, oh, man, I'm telling you.
I just got a text from a listener. He said, "Hey, Mickey," he said, "I get up at 5 every Sunday to drink coffee and just listen to old school Lynn Smith and you swap stories. Keep it up. Gentle Ben in Katy, Texas." I like that.
Well, that's good.
See, there you're pulling them out of bed, getting them out of the rack.
There you go. There you go. No, I'll tell you, man, I live to see these deer, man. I mean, it's something,
fun, isn't it?
You know, it is. And man, I tell you, there's nothing like it. It gets in your blood, you know.
It's therapy. It just it's relaxing.
It is.
Until that big one walks out, and then, boy, I'd like to see what I'd like to have a hunter in a stand and just put a blood pressure monitor on him, check his blood pressure when it's hunting slow, and then when a big one walks out, take that blood pressure to see what happens.
Isn't that the
heart
truth?
Rate. It's buck fever's. It's real. It's a disease.
Oh, it is. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I had a hunter that got it. I mean, I watched him get buck fever. He froze. I mean, absolutely froze.
Locked up.
And this, he did.
I
mean,
this guy, I can't. I'm locked up. I can't pull the trigger.
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, this buck was coming to a protein feeder that was 300 yards away, and I wouldn't let him shoot at it. It's just too far.
Right.
And I told the guy, I said, look, I said, we'll get this deer. We'll get him close tomorrow. He said, how are you going to do that? I said, I'm a corn down about halfway down this Sendera, and we'll get does on that corn. He'll come to him.
Sure.
And so he said, really? I said, oh, yeah. So, well, boy, the next day I corned down there, and, boy, sure enough, that buck came to that protein feeder, and he was looking down that Sendera at those does. Man, sure enough, he jumped out of that pen, and his nose was down low, and here he came trotting, boy. And I said, here he comes. So, boy, he got his rifle out the window, and I said, see a little hump in the Sendera? He said, yeah. I said, that's about 120 yards. I said, when he gets to that hump, you shoot him right there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be there. Everything happened just like we planned it, man. As he was running into that hump, the big doe just ran into the brush, and that buck ran right up on that hump, turned around broadside and stopped. I mean, just stopped. And I had my hands over my ears, and I said, shoot him. Shoot him now. Shoot. And the guy was looking through his scope. I said, shoot. Shoot. And that buck stood there, I know, 8 or 10 seconds. And finally, the buck just ran in the brush, and the guy pulled his rifle into the blind, and I went, why did you shoot? And he said, I don't know. He said, I had him twice. I could have killed him twice. And I just sat there, and I didn't say anything, you know. But he froze. I mean, he literally froze. Well, this guy was from Florida. Well, he was used to seeing a little old deer in Florida, you know. He'd never seen a buck that big. And that buck was a 9-point, and he was massive. You know, he was just massive. Well, anyway, we got back to the ranch house, and this guy, one of the guys there, was a real good trophy hunter. I was outside helping another guy clean a deer, and that trophy hunter came out there, and he said, "Hey, that guy that froze on that deer," he said, "was that a good deer?" I said, "Oh yeah, yeah, he's definitely a good deer." He said, "Well, I'm in a deer contest in Tyler." He said, "If you think that's a good deer, I want to get him." So I told him what I did, and so he went. He said, "Well, that guy's going back to Florida today, this afternoon," and he said, "I want to go in the morning and see if I can get that deer." I said, "Okay." So he went back the next morning. He got him.
Uh-oh.
And that deer was 9 points, scored 178.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, he's a pig. I mean, the main beams on that buck were 27 inches long. Yeah. Oh, and he was heavy, heavy deer.
Yeah, there's no telling. You know, that six I shot it, the main beams are what was just so overwhelming when I saw that deer. I think one side was like 27 3/4, and the other side was 27 1/2.
And oh, just, yeah.
I'm going, man, if you'd thrown, you know, G3s and 4s on that deer, my gosh, what would it have scored, you know?
Oh, just, yeah.
But it was an old mature deer, and I guess he's going to be a 6-point the rest of his life. And why nobody ever saw that deer till that day is mind-boggling to all of us down there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a rut. He didn't come from another ranch.
No.
He just showed up just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, it's like, you know, I took a kid on a ranch I was guiding on down in Encinal, and I took a kid, just took him out to shoot a cull buck, a spike or something, you know,
uh-huh.
and a buck came running out of the brush chasing a doe, and it was a 4-point. And, boy, I immediately told this kid, I said, shoot that deer. That's a cull. I said, shoot him. And, boy, he shot this deer, and I'm on the way back to the ranch, and we had walkie-talkies, and the ranch manager called me, and he said, did the boy kill a spike or a cull? I said, oh, yeah. I said, he got a 4-point. And it got real quiet, you know. Yeah. And the ranch manager said, a 4-point? And I said, yeah. He said, was he a cull? And I said, I'll let you be the judge. And, boy, we got back to the ranch house, and everybody's mouths fell open. That 4-point scored 107/8.
My gosh. Was it with just brow tines and beams?
That's it. Brow tines and the main beams. Yeah.
Longhorn.
It was.
That's crazy, man. Hey, let me knock his breakout, Lynn. I'll be right back, buddy. Hang on
a second.
All right. Well, you can join us on September 7th from 2 to 9 p.m. for the Heat Wave Slam Shrimp Boil Fundraiser at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas. For just $20, you can enjoy all-you-can-eat shrimp, live music, and a chance to win big in their raffle. Limited tickets are available, so purchase yours online at heatwaveslam.com. That's heatwaveslam.com. And don't forget about the Heat Wave Slam Fishing Tournament. Guaranteed $5,000 payout to the top five teams. Entry is $300 per team. Again, get signed up at heatwaveslam.com. That's heatwaveslam.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Give me a rodeo. Blame it on Texas. Don't blame it on me. I am what I am, and that's what I'm gonna be. You can say what you wanna say about my insanity. Blame it on Texas.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we were talking about that four-pointer that kid killed.
Oh, that was unreal. You know, I mean, all he was main beams, you know, yeah. And brow tines. That was it.
You know, I saw a deer one year like that, but it didn't even have any brow tines. It was just a longhorn. It was just main beams coming out of his head. It was, you could tell he was old, man. And I could have shot that deer on that hunt 4 or 5 times during that one sit, and I was trying to kill this big 8-pointer that was on a doe, and he had shown himself just enough for me to really get excited and say, hey, I'm going to sit on this deer. He's got to show back up. And I passed on that. That would have been so unique to kill a big old deer like that, an old deer.
Oh, yeah.
Just main beams, nothing else. I mean, there wasn't even any dimples or anything. He was just smooth, a 2-pointer, giant spike.
And he needed shooting, you know. I mean, somebody needed to pop him, you know. Oh, yeah. And the problem is with some of these hunters that you have on the ranch, they don't want to shoot that deer because they're waiting on a big deer, you know.
Right. Well, that's where I screwed up. If I hadn't seen that big 8, I would have shot him. I didn't want to ruin my hunt.
Exactly.
So I went back that afternoon, and naturally, he didn't show up, or the 8-point, either one. They were long gone. Never saw him again.
That's right. A bird in the hand, man. Bird in the hand, you know.
That's true. Yeah. Whatever your first instinct is, roll with it.
That's right. Yeah. I'll have hunters say, shoot him, man. Shoot him. Yeah. I have hunters the same way. And I go, man, you need to shoot that deer right there. Oh, well, yeah, what do you think? I said, I think you need to shoot him, man. You know? Oh, no, I don't know, man. I'm kind of waiting, you know. Boy, and they end up screwing up, you know. They should have shot him, you know. Never fails.
So true.
So, well, yeah.
Coulda, woulda.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, while I'm thinking about it, on that management hunt, the guys will come in on Sunday afternoon.
Right.
And then they hunt Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday if they have to, you know.
Right.
But the odds are they don't have to, you know. But anyway,
you bed down for 3 nights and
you
get what you're looking for, and then you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that's the way that deal works out. But anyway, back to that hunting. Never fails. If you're waiting on a certain deer, you don't see him, you know.
No.
He won't show up. That's usually what the odds are. Oh, man, I'll tell you. Yeah, we had a friend of ours that had this lease on the other side of the ranch here. He, on Thanksgiving Day, he told his wife he was going to go get a turkey. And he took his lab with him, and he went over and got in this blind that a lot of turkeys came to this one blind. So he got in the blind with his lab, and he took his .22 250. He said, I'm going to shoot a turkey in the head, you know. And so he went over and got in the blind. Well, this buck came running out of the brush chasing a doe. And he said, well, look at this. Well, you know, Thanksgiving, that's early rut, you know, for bucks chasing doe.
Yeah.
And here's a buck running out of the brush. And this buck was real narrow. He was only about, I think, about 14 or 15 inches wide. But he was straight up with nothing but tines, man, tines sticking out every direction. And he pops that deer. He shot him in the neck with that .22 250. And that deer scored 198.
My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Real narrow.
That's some tine length there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I realize width, that's only one measurement, but still, I mean.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's
nasty. Yeah, I know. 198 that deer scored. Incredible.
You know, I killed a buck like that went like 173 inches. It was just one of them big old high hat bucks. You know, it was, well, it's actually, it was an 11 pointer, but it had one kicker that would make it a 12, but truly it was an 11. And man,
oh,
just,
yeah.
It's like it had this huge crown on him, and the body of the buck, you know, I looked at it again and I said, man, he had such a huge body, it almost dwarfed the horns.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
And then when you lay them on the ground and you go down there, well, there was no horn shrinkage on that one.
No.
Grew, like at 6 point did.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell people, I tell these hunters that come down here, you know, in South Texas, I go, you know, when you hunt in the hill country, you know, you got ground shrinkage, you know. You know, you walk up to your deer and you go,
yeah,
oh,
the bodies
man.
Are so small, you know.
Yeah. You walk up and you go, oh, man, I thought he was a lot bigger than that, you know. I thought the horns were bigger than that. But down in South Texas, just the opposite. You know, you shoot a deer and you walk up there and go, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize he was that big, you know.
Yeah,
even
the mass looks better when you get there, when they're alive, with only a huge body, a 200-pound plus, you know, buck. I mean, it does dwarf the horn somewhat.
It does. It really does. And, you know, I was going to shoot an 8-point one day. We had way too many 8-pointers at this one stand, and the ranch manager told me, he said, why don't you shoot an 8-point over at this stand? We got way too many of them. So I went over one morning, and I'm sitting in the stand, and, man, I saw it was getting daylight, and I could see a lot of activity. And when it got light enough to see, there were 5 8-pointers chasing one doe, and they were back and forth, back and forth. And 4 of them were broken up real bad, but they were all big, mature bucks, I could see. And one of them wasn't broken up, and I thought, well, buddy, if you stop, you're in trouble. Well, he stopped, and so I popped him, and it was kind of drizzling rain and everything. It was kind of chilly, and so I went over there, and I had a Suburban. I was in a Suburban. We had a game hauler on the front of that Suburban. Well, it was kind of high, and I got over there, and I couldn't get that deer up on that game hauler. Yeah. And so I called this young boy that was helping us at the ranch. I said, why don't you come over and help me get this deer up? Man, it's raining and miserable. Well, he came over and we've got him up on that game hauler. I said, I'll tell you what, this deer weighs over 200 pounds, I guarantee you. So we got him back to the ranch house. And the horns were 20 inches wide.
Right.
But we got him up on the scale and weighed him. Now, that deer weighed 235 on the hoof.
Wow.
And when I cleaned that deer, he didn't have an ounce of fat on him. Not 1 ounce. Because he'd been running those does so hard.
Yeah, fought and run all the fat off of him. He's probably one that broke up those other deer, you know, their horns.
Probably. Could have been. But he didn't have tall tines, but he was 20 inches wide.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't have 1 ounce of fat left on him. Weighed 235 on the hoof.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. And those other deer, they were big, heavy horn bucks, you know, chocolate horn bucks. And, man, I'll tell you what Eric got me one day. I was sitting in a pop-up stand at a water hole, and I couldn't see on the other side of that water hole, but I could hear the fight going on. Boy, and I could hear these two bucks getting after it.
Hey, that'll get you going, won't it?
Ooh, I'm telling you. And they were tearing it up, boy. I mean, they were fighting. And there was an open field on the other side of that water hole. And, man, when they were through fighting, they came running across that field. And I could see them. And, buddy, they were two big bucks, man. I mean, big old chocolate horn deer. And I went, I said, please stop. Let me look at you real good. But they didn't slow down, man. They kept running. Oh, they were pretty
good. I shot a 9-pointer at Blaine's one time. And, man, I looked at him and I said, man, that's a mature deer. That's an old deer. But his horns didn't look that big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Blaine said, shoot him. We were hunting together in the hotel blind. And, so I popped him. He hits the ground, so we get out and go down there and pull the truck up to him. And I said, my gosh, he's bigger than I thought he was, you know, body-wise and mass and horns. And we like to never got that buck in the truck. Blaine always jumps up in the truck, and I drug the neck up there to him. He grabbed the horns, and I'm trying to pick up the back end. I said, man, we need to switch ends. And finally, I was able to slide him in there. We get him back and weighed him, went 224. You know, for a free-ranging, you know, buck, that buck, he just had everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I put him on the wall. That's how pretty he was. Beautiful 9-point. His brow tines were a little weak, but, you know, it don't matter. That's kind of par for the course down there. You don't get a lot of tine length on your brows down there for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, we had one buck there, you know, here at George West that, you know, I saw this deer 3 years in a row, and we couldn't get a shot at him. And then I was on the way back coming up this pipeline, and I had this one hunter with me, and he's a trophy hunter, and we're driving down the pipeline talking, going back to the ranch house, and I looked up on top of the hill, and this buck had his head down, trailing a doe, and from about 600 yards, you could see the horns on that deer, and I went, oh, my God, oh, I slammed on the brakes. I slammed on the brakes, and I said, get out, and boy, he jumped out of that Suburban, and he started running down the edge of that Sendera, trying to get close enough to get a shot at this buck. I mean, he was massive, you know. So the buck never saw him. He just had his head down. He had his mind on other things, you know. And he just came across that Sendera. He was in the middle of another Sendera that crossed that pipeline. And it was on top of a hill, and we had a protein feeder up there, and we had a tripod, but we didn't have a corn feeder there. And so anyway, that afternoon, we put a guy up there in that tripod and told him, said, man, there's a massive buck right up here, and you may see him, you may not. And that afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that guy was sitting up there texting on his cell phone, and he looked up, and here that buck walked out of the brush coming to that protein feeder. Uh-huh. And he said, oh, my God, this has got to be the deer they're talking about. And he missed him on the first shot. And he was shaking. And that buck ran over to the edge of Sendera and turned around and looked at him. And he got him on the second shot. And that deer was the third largest Boone and Crockett buck killed in Texas in 2012. And there was only 3 inches difference between him and number one.
My goodness.
3 inches. 3 inches difference. And he had short, real short brow tines and real short G2s. Real short G2s. He had those characteristics. If he'd have had tall G2s and good brow tines, oh, my goodness. He's real wide. I have a reproduction of him on my wall because I said I saw that deer 3 years in a row, and I want a reproduction of him. But because I could have killed him myself, you know. Mm-hmm. But I said, man, I definitely want a reproduction of him. The ranch manager took that deer to a Texas Trophy Hunter show right after that and just blew everybody away.
Boy, that was a showstopper there, buddy.
Oh, it was. Oh, well, the mass.
A lot of people bird-dogging that buck.
Ooh.
What a
well,
deer.
The mass, he carries the mass all the way out.
All the way.
I mean,
that's unreal.
Oh, he's a hoss, you know.
That mass goes a long ways when you go to running that tape around that main beam.
Oh.
It adds up.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Let me knock this breakout. Hang on, man. You got me all fired up.
It's not got your neck
September
swelling?
Yeah, I'm already swelling up in there. Hang on, man. All right. I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store, all their different size bottles they have on display, plus their regulators and diffusers. For more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's. Fresh guff shrimp, you know, looking for the big 9, 12s, 15, 18s, whatever size you like, they'll have them. Great price, great availability. And their Cajun Grill next door, they put out some really good food there at good prices. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
The sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to my door and the whole world turns.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 537 here in the Bayou City. All right, Liam, we're back.
Yeah, when you go home this afternoon, you'll dream about deer jumping the fence.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
well, I've seen some good ones jump the fence, but they're on wrong side. Can't shoot them. And boy, there was a big 10-pointer like that last year I was hunting, and he was just on the wrong side of the fence. He had two rubs and scrapes on the other side of the fence.
Oh,
I know
saw
he
one
was
like
jumping
that too.
And you know, it was during the rut. I know he was coming over and checking our does, but he never would come over when I was there.
Sure.
He knew I was there.
I saw one like that last year. Same deal. So I got back and I said, that deer, that feeder way over there, is that on your ranch? He said, no, it's on the other side. Oh, my goodness. That was a good deer. That was a real good deer. Yeah. Man. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But, it was funny. I was showing a picture, showing this guy yesterday, this picture of, we were doing a doe hunt and we were harvesting a bunch of does, and this buddy of mine was sitting in one stand. I was in another one. And he said, he texted me and he said, man, I'm just not seeing anything. He said, are you seeing anything? And I said, well, I got three on the ground. And he said, oh, my goodness. He said, you see any more? I said, yeah, I got several out in front of me. He said, well, shoot one for me. I said, okay, hold on. And I went, bam. You know, I said, okay, I got you one. He said, well, I'm coming to get you. I said, okay. And so, boy, he drove up in his mule, and he just circled them, you know, and just shook his head. So we loaded him up. And I said, all right. I said, this is a meat hall. I said, you know, because the guy that owns the ranch, this friend of ours, he said, man, he said, shoot some mature does for me. He said, we need to get rid of some of these mature does. You know, we need
man,
to definitely harvest.
Does.
Oh, yeah, the barren ones, for sure. And I was talking yesterday at that wedding. This one friend of ours that I hadn't seen in several years, he has a small ranch, and he I asked him if he had any good deer on his place. He was showing me pictures, and he said the same thing. He said, you know, he said I've got a lot of young deer, you know. He said young fawns, he said, this year, he said, we got a bunch of young fawns.
I'm hearing that from everybody. Twins.
Yeah.
Twin City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so he said, we had a big fawn crop last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we should have a bunch of them. So it's going to be interesting this year. I think on that ranch at George West, I think we've got, as far as the does that we're going to have to take off that place, I know that we're going to start off with about 70 that we've got to take off of it. Wow. And we're probably going to have to take more than that, because the fawn crop last year, the count was so high,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to have a lot of does that we're going to have to harvest, you know, for sure. And we really need to take them early, you know. Need to take these things early. And that's been the problem in the past, and people don't want to take them early.
Yeah,
you need to take them before the rut starts, you know.
Well, and, way down south where Blaine's at, if you take them early, I mean, you're taking them off. I mean, the rut is so late down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just taking, I mean, they're when the mom's gone, they have no protection. They're just lost as a goose. Those little fawns are on their own.
Oh yeah. No, you can't take them. You can't take them if the young ones are still on the mothers. They can't do
it. Yeah, you just can't do it. I mean, it's they're you might as well kill
them. No, you
got
to watch. No, and I tell everybody that. I say, no, you got to watch. When a doe walks out, you have to make sure that there's not little ones with them, you know, and you have to watch them. And you got to make sure that doe is a barren doe.
Yeah.
Because they got to have protection. They definitely do. And there's so many of them that had twins. Yeah, you know, so many of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm hearing that from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, from East Texas all the way to South Texas. A lot of
Yeah.
Great fall and crop again this year, just like last year.
Well, we had the rain at the right time and everything. So that made a big difference.
It does.
And, you know, it's like a biologist was telling me, too. He said, you know, like until they had DNA, they never knew. But once they came out with DNA studies, they found that when a doe has twins, 9 times out of 10, it's 2 different bucks.
Yeah, it'll be 2 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
thing. 2 different ones. Yeah, that's right. So that works out good.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all of those counties down in deep South Texas if they didn't open deer season until December 1st, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know.
Give you more on the other end because, man, once buck season closes and everybody's doe hunting, the rut's still going big time.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you see the big, old, mature bucks that you need to harvest, that need to be taken.
Well, like in February, I was sitting in a stand in February, and I heard something behind the stand, and I just looked behind me, and I saw a 12 and a 14 chasing a doe behind me, just back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, just running her like crazy. That was a late rut, you know, and but it's a late rut. I mean, it's a secondary rut is what it was.
Yeah, but it seems to be the best one.
Oh, yeah. You know, they come out of nowhere.
Yeah, where the bigger, older, more mature deer are doing the running at the end.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny to watch them, too. You know,
like
those young bucks.
Huh?
Yeah, it is. Been there and done that.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, but it's funny to watch those bigger bucks early like that, and those young bucks are chasing those does around the feed pen, and the big bucks are just eating corn watching them.
Yeah,
you know?
Going, hey, wear them down for me.
That's it. It's kind
of
funny.
Time's right, I'll move on in and kick your butt and take that doe away from you.
That's right. That's right. You know, I saw a buck, a 10-point one time. I was driving back to the ranch house, and this 10-point was walking alongside the road, and his tongue was hanging out. He'd been fighting so hard, and his tongue was hanging out, and he was just walking parallel to the road. He was worn slap out, man. He could care less about me driving, and wow. I videoed him while he's walking along the road. Oh, he was worn out. I thought, boy, I'd like to see the deer you fought.
We were Iraq hunting one time in Mexico, and the rut was on big time. And we're driving down this sendero, just crawling down it real slow and quiet. And all of a sudden, this doe just walks out and stops right in front of the truck. We had to stop the truck. We could have run over the stupid doe. And she stood there by the truck like she was using that as cover.
Uh-huh.
You know, to keep the buck off from us. He walked out. I mean, I could almost reach out and touch this buck. And he wasn't leaving that doe. He was on her, and his tongue was hanging out. He looked like he'd been about 9 rounds with Mike Tyson. And he wasn't leaving her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I saw one with a chunk of meat hanging off his rump where a buck had gored him.
Gored him, yeah.
You know? Yeah, and there was a chunk of meat hanging off his rump.
Goodness.
And he was still wanting to fight, you know? Man, when they get in that mode,
they don't feel any pain or anything. They're just...
No. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, man. Yeah, it's a whole nother world. And that's why when they're fighting like that, you sure don't want to walk up on them. Because they'll fight you.
Well, that's... Yeah. That's a problem you get into, you know, rattling during the rut. You better have you better have a buddy there with you to rattle by yourself. You just never know. You can get run over, man.
Well, when they come running up on you, the hair on the back of their neck standing up, you know, they're ready to fight.
Yeah.
They're ready to fight, man. And I tell people that. I go, you better be ready. You better be ready. I've told people about this. This actually happened to a friend of mine. He was kneeling down on the edge of the sendero, rattling, had a face mask on and everything, you know, and he's rattling like crazy and had his rifle just kind of laying there in front of him. And he heard something to his left, and he turned to look, and this buck was running at him through the brush with his head down, And he literally just dove into the Sendera to get out of the way. And that buck, when the buck ran by him with his head down, and one of the tines went through his belt loop and ripped his belt loop out. Now, that's
boy,
close.
That's too close for comfort there, buddy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Closest I ever come to getting run over, Blaine and I were on a fence line down this rock road, and we had seen this big 12-pointer that morning when we went in there and picked a couple of guys up and were coming out. So we went back in the middle of the day and said, we're going to rattle that buck up. You know, he was on a doe. And we went down there by that cattle guard and got to rattling. And I look through the brush we're behind on this fence line, and I see this deer coming down the hill. I mean, wide open. He's running straight at us. I mean, we hadn't rattled. I mean, Blaine just got off the horns, and here he comes. And he would have, if we hadn't had that cover in front of us, he'd have run smooth over us.
Mm-hmm.
That's something how they can lock that in, that sound, and they come right to it. I don't care how hard the wind's blowing or it's calm or whatever, they're coming straight to where that sound came from. And he was bristled up. He was ready to rock and roll, and he stopped, and he's looking at us, knowing we're there. He's not even afraid of us, and he starts scraping the ground and growling. He was growling at us. My goodness.
Oh, I tell you, they're mad. They're really mad. Yeah, I heard. I went over and I sat down against a tree along a fence line, and I was started rattling, and I heard this buck jump the fence. I heard him hit the ground when he jumped the fence, and I laid the horns down. This buck came out, and he walked out, and he went over. He looking around, and then he went over to a tree, and he raked his horns on the tree and pawed the ground, and he looked around and didn't see anything, and he just kind of meandered off, and I waited till he disappeared, and I started rattling again. Boy, he came back. He came back and started raking his horns and pawing the ground, and I rattled him back three times, you know.
Man.
And I never did shoot him. I mean, he wasn't a big deer, but anyway, boy, he wanted to fight. He wanted to find somebody to fight.
Well,
it's amazing.
Wild
it's amazing.
Animals. It's just you got to watch out for them. Everybody thinks little deer is harmless, but man, a buck and he can ruin your life. He can mess you up.
Oh, big time.
Wrong
big
situation.
Time.
Hey, not to change the subject, but I just saw I got my TV on in here. I just saw another yacht fire. What's with all these big mega yachts and these big giant expensive boats, all these fires all of a sudden this year? Have you noticed that?
You don't think that's an insurance deal, do you?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I mean, is it that bad out there?
I don't know. It might be.
That was in Florida, but I've been seeing them up north and, you know, all over. More than usual.
It is.
I don't want to accuse anybody.
Yeah, big mega yachts.
Yeah, big mega yachts on fire. That's,
Yeah, that doesn't sound right, does it?
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. It's, well, I'm not burning my boat.
No.
My boat.
No. Me either. Me either.
I'm not having to pay for one of those mega yachts either.
No. No, not hardly. Yeah, not hardly. I gotta take mine in Monday and get some work done on it. But anyway, yeah, I've got to take mine in. I'm getting a Raptor put on it, and I got to get one of those put on it. But anyway, I had a Talon on it, and my Talon finally laid down on me. It was old. I love that Talon, though. I loved it.
I've never used one. You know, I've always used power poles, but...
Right. Well, I had that Talon, and I loved it because it would go straight down, and it would telescope. It would telescope down 15 feet.
My goodness.
And, oh, man, it was great. I loved it. But I broke it the other day, and it was old, and I knew better. There was a tanker coming, and that tanker was really throwing a wake. Yeah. And it broke it. And I knew better. I should have raised it up, but I didn't. Anyway, I broke it. So I said, well, it's time.
When I first started running power poles, I forgot to raise it up. And I take off, and I'm going, man, did I drop a cylinder or something? I'm don't feel right. And I look back, and there's water flying everywhere. I said, oh, my, I've ruined this thing. Luckily, I didn't ruin it.
No.
I raised it up and said, boy, that's stupid.
Yeah. We've all done it.
Yeah,
we've all done
just,
it.
You know, you're just not used to it, something new like that. And look how many boats that have taken off with a trolling motor down. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
get excited. Look, let's go hit those birds and forget to pull the trolling motor up.
Look how many people run across the bay with their trolling motor not locked down and have it bounce up.
Oh, self-deploy? And high speed? It's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Too.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I've never done that, but I know people that have.
But, you know, the self-deploy ones, you know, if you're wearing that deal around your neck, I know a guy that was running about 50 or 60 across the bay, and he hit the button, and it self-deployed. Looked like a bomb went off. I can't believe the lower unit didn't go through the hull.
Ooh.
It was on the bow.
Man, oh, man.
That wasn't pretty.
No. No.
Costly.
Yeah. We could write, you know, we need to write a book about all the stuff that happens that happens on the bay. You know, we
just
could
equipment that gets torn up.
Oh my goodness, isn't that the truth?
From stupidity and neglect.
We've seen it all.
Yeah, we have. Unreal,
God almighty. Oh, I'm telling you,
but it's been a good run. It's
yes.
The more you run, the more you tear stuff up. That's the nature of the beast.
Yep. It's a hole in the water you throw money in.
That's it.
Yep.
Bust out another 1,000. Well,
yeah,
the way
right.
Inflation is, bust out another $2,000.
Oh,
isn't
that the
much
truth?
Double. Everything. No matter what it is.
Isn't that something?
Well.
Good grief.
I'm telling
you. Look at what the boats cost now.
Yes. I never dreamed I'd see just a gar rig for what they cost nowadays. Pretty crazy, man. All right, Lynn. Well, hey, I'm glad you got down to South Texas and a little bit of God's country for the weekend. But if somebody wants to call you about coming and fishing POC, how do they get a hold of you?
Yes, sir. Man? Okay, man. I'm heading back that way. 361-935-6833.
All right, Lynn, have a good weekend, what's left of it. I'll talk to you next week, brother. Take care.
All right, man. Have a good
one,
Mick.
See you, man.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
All right, that's Lynn Smith down in Port O'Connor. It's time for our top of the hour break, national anthem, and all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.